We're working through the series called The Story of God, and we've been just kind of looking at this overarching story of Scripture. And what does it mean? It's really one narrative. It's one story that's all interwoven in throughout the course of history and God's interaction with his people, but also into our lives. And so we've been covering this throughout the summer, and we spent about 5 weeks covering some big concepts and themes in the Old Testament. And last week we jumped in the New Testament talking, introduced you to a guy named Jesus, who's the hero of the story and who all the Old Testament is pointing toward. So last week we talked about the person, who Jesus was as a person, and then the works that he did. And so that's kind of where we stopped last week. So, but before we jump into Scripture this week, we had this in the handout for the last several weeks. We usually do this in July. The last couple of years we've done this. We just want to kind of hit pause and reflect back on the first part of this year for us as a church, and just kind of highlight a few things, update you on a few things, and celebrate kind of what God's doing, but also challenge us for the rest of the year and even beyond that. So because God is writing a story, as he writes stories in each of our lives individually, collectively brings us together, and that becomes the story of the Grove Church. And that all fits underneath God's overarching story that he's been writing for generations. So I just want to highlight a few things with you, and feel free if you want to clap, celebrate at any point in time in any of these, just go ahead and do it. You don't have to wait on me to tell you to do that. So, but some cool stuff. So I want to start out with, go ahead and hit that first image up there. So we do an intro to the Grove. We're doing that today. If you're new to our church, you just want to kind of stick around, eat some free lunch, find out kind of what we're about, you're welcome to do that. But we've had more people just in the first 6 months this year go through Intro to the Grove than we have in the past 18 months all combined. So that's really cool. That's awesome. We started, which just means God's bringing new faces to our church, and they're wanting to find out more, and the vision's engaging them. So that's all good. Praise God for that. The uncommon graphic that you see up there is reflective of our man night. I was going to put some of the food pictures up there that we eat at our man night, but I just thought that wouldn't be fair to the rest of you that have not got to enjoy that. So this has been the first year that we've kicked off our uncommon man nights, and just excited about the spirit is growing in those each time that we gather together. Yes, we eat good, and we joke about the food because it's good, but it's so much more than just eating good food. God's doing some good stuff. Guys are meeting each other that, you know, didn't even know beforehand, but there's some good stuff rippling out of that as well, with the way that God's working through God's life, not just in these times when we meet up, but in other ways. So celebrating God for that, it's kind of some things that we're seeing. It's kind of unique as we started out the year. Go ahead and hit the next one. We look back to Easter. I loved Easter this year. It was such an amazing just celebration, but it began with our night of worship, and we had this cross. If you were here for that, and you see the picture there. And it was just it was one of the most powerful nights I've ever been a part of with any church family. It was just so cool to see the Spirit of God move. So if you missed it, I hate that you missed it, but it was an awesome night. And what's been cool is I know some of the things that have been nailed up there a couple months ago, God's answered those prayers since then. And that's what's exciting, is that some people truly laid some stuff down and God answered it. And so that's what we celebrate more than anything. And that's what we talked about on Easter Sunday, was that the whole power of the resurrection is the fact that because Jesus rose up, every single one of us can rise up and be the people that he's called us to be. We don't make a big deal out of numbers, but it is cool to see. We had 345 in attendance on Easter, which is the biggest Sunday that we've ever had in this building. So that was really awesome and cool to see. It just means God's given us an opportunity to touch a lot of people. So that was cool. All right, go ahead and hit the next one. I think it's sports camp. Yeah, so we just had our sports camp. We just celebrated this a few weeks ago, so I won't spend a whole lot of time on this. But the pictures I put up here, they're all non-athletic, because we do a sports camp, and yeah, we train the kids hard, and they get good training in sports. But what I loved that we were able to, I think, make some strides in this year was the spiritual component and the connections that we had with the kids, and just being able to pray more with the kids and seeing them in group time. So we had over 200 kids that came to the camp. We had 70 plus volunteers. Both of those numbers are close to double from the previous year. So that's just awesome to see you as a church family getting on board and being excited about reaching our community. And then to see the camp grow from one year to the next, that the community's responding, that we're making connections there and building inroads into the community that I think are going to shape a lot of the vision that we have moving forward as a church. So that's all good. Go ahead and hit the next one. I just wanted to just to show you how God's allowing our church to grow. I don't know. You probably don't wake up thinking about church culture and all that stuff every day. I get it. I probably wouldn't either if I were you. But the trend that we're able to see happening in our church, that, and this is all God, that God's blessing us with growth and new faces, this is not the norm a lot of times in our culture today. And so if you just look, this is month to month, year to year comparison. On the left hand side, you see 2018. On the right hand side, you see 2019. You'll see, you know, God's blessed us so far this year with a 23% growth. And this combines Sunday morning, you all sitting in here, and then our kids ministry and everything going on over there with them. And so God gets the glory for this. That just means the way that I look at this is that, my prayer over us as a church is that we would grow, that we would see people come to know him, that he would lead the people that he wants to us, but that we would be really cultivating a culture that connects people together and that we walk through life together. And God knows when we're ready for what. And so we just trust him with that. But this is positive signs. We're moving in a good direction. And God could look at us and say, no, I don't trust that Grove Church. I'm going to send people somewhere else. But God is entrusting us with people. And so we celebrate that and give praise to him. So anybody, we could celebrate. Yeah, that's good. So go ahead and hit the next one. So these are just snapshots of some things. Baptisms, we've been able to baptize 12 people over the last 18 months, which is awesome. I think God is really stirring into people's lives, and we're going to see more baptisms coming over the next year. But that's directly connected to us having a greater commitment and plan for making disciples, for seeing us connect people together as we live, work, and play, and equipping people. And so we're going to have some stuff we'll begin doing this fall that I'm excited about that'll give every single person here an opportunity. If you say, hey, I want to be better equipped to reach my family, reach my friends, connect with people, we're going to be equipping you. Because here's my hope. Here's what I would love to see by the end of the year. I would love to see some of you all leading somebody to Christ, just as you share your story, and then you up here on the stage baptizing those people that you've led to Christ. Like, I would love to see that happen, because it is not about who Josh gets to baptize. It's about the story of our church and what God's doing in our lives. And you might think, well, I thought only pastors were supposed to baptize people. No, go read the New Testament. It's like, this could be a beautiful thing. So that's my prayer. I'm praying over us. So get ready. When God starts nudging your heart to start loving on somebody, serving them, connecting with them more, maybe investing your life into that, God's wanting to move through you. So don't restrict that, okay? We good for that? I know that can kind of be a little freaky and be like, oh, God wants to work through me. Yes, he does. He loves you and he wants to work through your life. So hang in there. So that leads to kind of what's next for us, I think, is the next image in there. So our vision, helping people take their next steps of faith with Jesus. Go ahead and hit that next image. So what's next for us? A few things that we're going to be focusing on. We're going to be rolling out what I'm calling a 2-for-1 disciple making groups. I'll be sharing more about that over the next few weeks. But here's the gist of it. And I think this is part of God's story. If you're reading the New Testament, how Jesus sent his disciples out. He sent them out in twos, and he said, I want you to pray, and I want you to just pray and look until the Father sends somebody that you connect with. And when you connect with that person, hang out, spend time with them. And so a lot of times we can think about reaching people, and it can feel really overwhelming if you have to do this by yourself, right? The one-on-one thing can be really intimidating. But if you can pair up with somebody, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's a friend, whoever, and you can say, let's just commit together to pray. Let's commit to pray that God will work through us to see somebody else impacted. That's where the 2-for-1 comes in. So I'll be sharing more about that. I'm really excited about that. I think that's going to take some of what God's wanting us to do as a church to the next level. New missional communities, we're going to be rolling some of those out as we move throughout the fall. So I'm excited about those. We'll be sharing more of those as we come. Next month, our leadership team is getting away for a retreat, and we're going to be just asking God to give us further clarity for vision down the road for our church. I'm excited about that. So I share that because I want you to be praying. Be praying over us as we meet and plan and prepare for future goals and needs that we'll have. And the other thing is financial provision. And that's a next step for us. Last year was a great year financially for us. And So it's kind of an area, though, looking ahead to the rest of this year, where we've got some room to grow. And so I want to challenge you a little bit in that. And in all these areas, be thinking about, how does God want to work through me? What's God doing in my life that I can take and share with somebody else? But also I want to challenge you just a little bit financially. We should put these numbers up here. Go ahead and hit the next slide. If you'll see last year, 2018, you can see our income, our expenses. This year, 2019, you'll see our giving's down some. Our expenses are up a little bit. We anticipated that. We have full responsibility for this facility for 2.5 more years, or a little over 2 years. So we knew when we rolled into that that there was going to be an increased cost. So the increase in expenses is pretty much made up by us having full responsibility for this space now and the addition of new staff members. So both of those were steps of faith that we took as a church. And so I look at the giving number and it's down. So I would just want to challenge you to think about what that looks like. If this is your first time here, we're not trying to guilt you into giving. Just tune this part out. But for those of you that would say, this is my church family, we want to really challenge you to think about what the rest of the year looks like for you. Maybe you're not giving anything. Just take a step and let God nudge your heart. Maybe you increase what you're giving. But we've got some work to do to kind of catch up on that. But here's what I don't see this as a problem. I see it as an opportunity. I see this as a great chance for us to let God reveal his vision, work on our hearts, and show us what that looks like. So I'm going to ask Craig to come up real quick as we get started. And when you think about the story of the Grove, this guy knows the story of the Grove probably better than anybody in the room. He's been a part of the Grove from the very beginning. And I just asked Craig if he would just share a little bit of perspective in regards to what we're celebrating and what we're looking ahead to as a church. I think you're good. Yeah.
Everybody hear me? Good. Well, good morning. It's exciting to see all the stuff that has happened in just the last 6 months to a year here at the Grove. As Josh says, I was just thinking, sitting next to my wife, and I was thinking, 3 months from now, we'll be 10 years in as a as a church. Because in October of 2009, we started meeting at the home of Wiley and Shirley Jones and Scott and Penny Sparks, and probably 14, 15 other families started getting together and started talking about this concept of starting a church called The Grove. And it's as exciting today as it was then. And amazingly, I step back and I look at God's hand through so much change in 10 years and how he's continued to lift us up and guide us through some really tough transitions that have occurred. Scott's passing, Scott's decision prior to passing that it was time for him to step down, and he was able to, through the help of others, locate Josh and bring Josh on. And I just watched in amazement the way that whole thing unfolded. And you look at it and you go, only because it was God's plan could it have went that way. And he knew what was going to happen. And he knows what's going to happen now. I mean, I stand here today and I'm excited about the fact that in 10 years, I think we've probably touched literally thousands of people. Mm. Between our free food market, our sports camps, going out in the communities, all the people that have come through in 10 years and have been a part of this church for a period of time. I mean, we've had a significant impact on the community, and I think yet we're just scratching the surface of where we could go from here. Mm. We have a wonderful opportunity here, and so I encourage each of us to be thinking about that as we think ahead and as we get together as a leadership team and start planning about where are we going from here? Where does God want us to go from here? Ultimately, that's the question. To get there, though, it does take financial support. I mean, it doesn't happen without all of us buying in. And for me, sometimes that's a challenge because, I proclaim to be a Christian, but then there's certain aspects of my life that maybe I don't want to turn over to God as much as others. And the reality is I need to walk in faith in every aspect of my life, including my giving and what that looks like. Because the truth is, I'm either all in or I'm really not in at all. And so I challenge anybody in the room that may be kind of in a similar situation where you believe in God, proclaim to be a Christian, but yet want to hold back in certain areas of your life, the opportunity is to let it all go. God will bless you. And I'm happy to talk with anybody that ever wants to talk about. So, Greg, when you've been in that season of trust, and you've walked the way you should walk, and you have done what you needed to do, how has God blessed you? And it's been amazing in my personal life, and Kelly's in my life, how God has blessed us in those seasons when we've fully trusted and given everything over to Him. Mm. And I wouldn't be where I am today without having walked that walk and learned those lessons. And I have to keep learning them, mm-hmm. because my human nature is I want to basically be in control. But at the end of the day, He's the one that's always in control. And so it brings me back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'll just read a couple of verses here. It's Paul writing to the people of Corinth. And he says, basically, it starts with verse 6. The point is this. This is Paul. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all the things at all times, you may abound in every good work. So my challenge is, let's either be all in, because otherwise we're really not in at all. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Would you show your appreciation to Craig? Craig's on our ministry leadership team along with Christy Brown and Eric Smith. And I've been in several churches, and I can genuinely tell you just from behind the scenes, this is the most unified, together, united leadership team I've ever been on. And it's so exciting. No matter what comes up, it's like the Spirit has already prepared us, our hearts are aligned, and it's so exciting just to be serving alongside them. So as a church, in the story of God that He's writing out for us, underneath His story, as we move throughout the rest of this year and start even looking ahead to years down the road, we move forward in faith. And faith should be easy, right? I mean, we've got it all. Like, we wake up every morning just wanting to live by faith, right? No, like, we can be honest, okay? It's okay. Well, like, we say that every week. Take the Jesus face off. Just be real, okay? And so our kids and Grove Kids, they've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit throughout the summer. And I was talking to my 7-year-old this week just about, like, hey, what have you been learning in Grove Kids? What's going on? And he said, yeah, we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And I said, well, do you understand all of them? He said, no. And I said, well, okay, tell me, which one do you not understand? He said, faithfulness. I said, okay. I said, what do you think faithfulness means? He said, I don't know, Daddy. That's why I just told you. So faithfulness is like, it's trusting God and believing that what He said is what you should do, and then you do it, right? Because it's not really faith. You're not being faithful if you don't do what you believe, right? And he was like, that's what it means? I was like, yeah, that's what it means. I was like, what do you think about that? He's like, well, that's easy. I do that all the time. And so I was like, well, okay, all right, good. But so it should be like that, right? I mean, we should look at the God that we serve, look at His faithfulness, look at His story. We look at Scripture. That's one of the reasons we've been doing this, so that we can look and see God's faithfulness from generation to generation. And that should call us to be faithful back to Him. It's easier said than done, though. I mean, if we're honest. I mean, I'll just stand here and tell you, like, it's not, pastors don't have super abilities. Like, it's to walk by faith. It takes taking my eyes off of myself, off my circumstances, and fixing them on God. And that's easier said than done for every single one of us in this room. And so as we've been looking at the story of God, it's really this invitation of God to say, look, I want to do something new. Isaiah 43:19 says, God speaking through the prophet Isaiah says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And so it's as if God's saying, look, just trust me. I've always been faithful. I'm going to show up and be faithful. Just walk with me through this. Let me take you through this. And that's what we've been seeing in the story of God. And so this morning, I just want to put this thought out in front of us, because we're going to look at a little bit more of the kind of the latter part of Jesus's days on earth and what that means for us. And so this is kind of the big idea I want to unpack just for a few minutes this morning is this. It's that Jesus has already done what you can't. Jesus has already done what you can't. And it starts with this whole idea of being faithful. The whole reason Jesus had to come, as we've looked at throughout the whole Old Testament, is that creation, humanity, all of us, we've been unfaithful. We haven't loved God when we should have. We haven't trusted Him when we should have. And it created this separation, this gap between us. And so the overarching story of Scripture is that Jesus showed up and did everything that you and I could never do. Can I get you to interact a little bit? We're kind of quiet this morning. I want to make sure we're all still here. Well, you look at the person beside you, and I just want you to say this to them, all right? You're going to say, Jesus has already done. Go ahead, look at the person beside you and say it. What you can't. All right, now I want you to look at the person on the other side, and if the wall is on the other side, talk to the wall. So, good thing is, it doesn't look back mad at you or anything like that. So say it again, Jesus has already done what you can't. Now, do you believe that? Well, I hope. If not, maybe you'll be a little more convinced by the time we're done this morning. But this is not just a flip a switch, like behavior modification kind of thing. But what I want us to look at is we're going to look at what Jesus talked about. When we talked about the kingdom of God. We're going to look at His death and His resurrection really quick this morning. It's through all three of those that maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, I can't fill in the blank. Say, I can't get my life back on track. I can't get my marriage to work the way I want it to. I can't get this relationship with this person. I can't get the tension to resolve. I can't forgive myself. I can't find peace at my workplace. I can't. It's so easy for us to wake up every single day and we look at our life and it's marked by everything that we feel that we can't do. But the good news of Jesus coming and showing up is that he took care of all that. And through His strength and through who He is and who He was and what He did, we understand that yes, without Him, we can't. There is no hope for your marriage. There is no hope that your life gets back on track. There is no hope for you ever finding forgiveness, being able to forgive yourself and forgive the people around you. There is no hope, but Jesus has shown up and He has done what you and I could never do. And our response is to not try to fix ourselves and push to the side what He's done, but it's to receive it and understand that He loves us as He finds us. And the challenge for us is to not listen to the voice of the enemy that leads us to not ever forgive ourselves, to think that God could never love us, God doesn't want anything with us. There's always that tension that's there. But Jesus would say to us this morning, look, I've already done what you could never do, so just get over it. It's not about you anymore. Let it be about me. I think that's what He would say to us this morning. So we're going to look at three aspects of this. The kingdom of God, what did Jesus mean by that? We're going to look at His death and what He meant by that. And then in the resurrection, what do we take away from that? So let's look. I'm going to jump around in some scriptures. So if you want to jot these down or follow along in the Bible app, whatever you'd like to do. But the first thing we're going to look at is the kingdom of God. And when you hear the kingdom of God, a lot of times you maybe jump and think about heaven. Growing up in the church that I did, when I heard the word kingdom of God, I automatically just assumed, okay, Jesus is talking about when I go to heaven. But here's the thing we understand. Jesus has already done what you can't. And that includes giving proper perspective to this life. So we'll say it like this. Jesus focused more on this life than the afterlife. Jesus focused more on this life than the afterlife. I mean, think about any country music fans here in the room. Okay, there's a few of us, six or seven. Okay, I like country. I like more of the older country music more than I like some of the newer stuff. But I drove to Indiana to a conference this week, and you know, driving through cornfield after cornfield after cornfield, I was like, I need to listen to some country music. I feel like I'm in the middle of nowhere. So I put some country music on, and it was, you know, some good songs came on the radio. It was a Clay Walker song from way back in the day that just talked about, I just want to live until I die. I was like, the simplicity in that song, like, that sounds good. Like, let's just live, enjoy every day. Like, that sounds good, Clay. I can resonate with that. And then I heard this song by Alabama. It was, I'm in a hurry to get things done. I rush and rush until life's no fun. And it's just like, wow, that's me too. Like, I feel like I'm in a hurry when I have no reason to be in a hurry. And it's like, I'm not living till I die. Like, I'm in tension, you know, in between these two songs. And then some newer ones came on, and there was this good vibes song. I can't remember the guy that sings it. But he's basically like, just shut your mouth unless you're going to give off good vibes. And I was like, I want to be around that dude. That sounds good. And so it's good vibes. And then there was another song. I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. Oh, it's like Make It Sweet. It's by Old Dominion that came on. It's just talking about life is short, make it sweet. I was like, that's good too. Like, I need to listen to more country music. Like, you just filter out some of the stuff. But, okay, overarching, the point of that is, because there's a lot of country music that's not about living in the moment right now, but the point of all that is to say, there's this focus, though, that's out there where we've got to know what we're dialed into. And Jesus was dialed into this life, and he wanted us to pay attention to the things about this life. And so when he showed up, he started using this kingdom language, but he wasn't talking about heaven so much as he was talking about the kingdom that he was launching here on this earth. And for you and I, we've got to step back and think, you know, where is my focus going to be? Is it going to be in the afterlife, or am I going to think about the here and now and how I'm feeling and what's God wanting to do through me in this? Because here's what I think happens. A lot of times in churches, we've just done a poor job of this. We make it all about avoiding hell. So we say, hey, come follow Jesus. You don't want to die and go to hell, do you? Like, you might die. You might walk out of here and lightning strike you. You don't want to go to hell, do you? Of course, everybody's like, well, no, I don't want to go to hell. Tell me what to do to avoid hell. So our whole faith and understanding God's story and what he's trying to do in our life, here's what the narrative turns into. God exists to keep you from going to hell. And that kind of begins to be the function of our dynamic and our relationship with God, is that, okay, God exists so that I don't have to go to hell. What? Did Jesus talk about hell? Yes. Do we believe hell is real? Yes. If you live your whole life separated from God and then you die, yes, we believe in a literal hell that you will spend eternity separated from him. Do we believe in heaven? Yes, we believe that heaven is real and that's the alternative to hell. And so, yes, we believe those things. And Jesus talked about both of those. I mean, even John chapter 14 is a great example of that. Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, what I've told you, that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So yes, following Jesus, trusting him as our Savior, receiving his forgiveness, the surrendering to him, yes, it does result in going to heaven when we die. But the basis of our salvation, the basis of us wanting to walk with Jesus, cannot be rooted in a desire to not want to go to hell. Does that make sense? Because what happens when you do that is you're so focused on the afterlife, you think God cares nothing about right now. And then what we end up doing in response to that is we make our faith all about just praying a little prayer. And we say, pray this little prayer, repeat it in your heart, repeat it after me, and God will save you and you won't die and go to hell. So we repeat this prayer and then it's like, well, what did I really do? What does that do for like today and tomorrow and a year from now? If I'm still alive, what does that do? And the thing is, Jesus never told us to pray a prayer. There's no magic formula in that. Now, there is a confession where we pour out our heart before God and we ask him to forgive us and we step into that relationship with him. But you can pray a prayer and not really ever surrender your life to Jesus. So the question is, where's your focus been on Jesus? Has it been more about the afterlife and God saved me from hell, so I'm going to do this or do that and hope that I will be in heaven one day? Or is it about, I am in awe of you, God. And I see my messiness. I see my brokenness. And thank you, God, for making a way for me to be saved. You have done for me what I can't. And I'm receiving that. I'm entrusting the rest of my life to you. And I know that there's hope beyond this life. And I praise you for that. But even right now in the immediate, I would just want to follow you. So I would ask you a hard question this morning. What is the foundation of your faith been rooted in? Is it avoiding hell or following Jesus? Because those are two completely different perspectives on our faith. Us as a church, we want to help you shift toward the latter and help you see the kind of relationship that God wants you to have, because Jesus said this in Matthew 6:33. He says, seek first the what? The kingdom of God. Here's a simple way to think about the kingdom of God. It is God's present rule and reign on this earth. It's the rule and reign of God on this earth. It's what he's doing now in the here and now. And God says, look, I will take care. If you read the context of Matthew 6, Jesus talked about all these things we tend to worry about. And Jesus is like, don't put your focus on those. Put your focus on the kingdom of God, on following me as your king in the here and now, and I will take care of these things that typically cause you so much stress and so much worry and so much anxiety. Because Jesus is saying, look, I'm about to do for you what you could never do for yourself. And we now, 2,000 years later, look back at it and say, Jesus did for us. Jesus did for me what I could never do for myself. So a few scriptures, Jesus talks about the kingdom of God to help us understand it. John 6, 14 and 15. It says, when the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, this is indeed the prophet who has come into the world. Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew to the mountain by himself. So we've been looking at the people of God, they wanted an earthly king. So they see Jesus showing up, doing all this stuff for the around the people in Israel. And they're like, oh, wow, our king has arrived. He's going to set up a kingdom. We're going to be restored as the mighty nation, like physically and politically. And that's not the kind of kingdom Jesus came to set up. It was more of an invisible kingdom that was working through the Spirit of God. And Jesus was ushering that in, saying that, he says, it's here, it's now. He says it like this in John 18, 36. Jesus says, my kingdom's not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world. He was launching a movement, a culture, a presence on this earth that up to this point had been unique. John 3, 3. In a conversation with a religious guy, Nicodemus, he comes to him and Nicodemus is like, how are you doing all these things, Jesus? I want to see what you see. I want to have the perspective on this life that you're teaching and that you're showing. That's basically what Nicodemus said. And Jesus said, look, unless you're born again, in other words, unless you trust me and you follow me and I do something new inside of you and open up your eyes, you can't see the kingdom of God. So when you see someone go through a horrible season and they're walking by faith and they're trusting God and it's like there's this supernatural strength that comes over them, well, guess what? It is. It is the movement of God. It's the presence of God in their life because God works in the kingdom. Well, how do we step into that kingdom? Well, Jesus says in Mark 1:15, as he's explaining it, he says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. See, he doesn't say you'll get to the kingdom of God one day when you die. He says the kingdom of God is at hand right now. So we repent. That just means you turn and go in a new direction. And you believe, you go all in, as Craig was saying, in the gospel and who Jesus is. You trust him as your Savior in that way. And I know for some of us, we already understand this. So I'm just reminding you this morning, Jesus has already done what you can't. And there's so much that you and I, we can't do for ourselves. But in his kingdom, God has a way of moving things and shaping things and molding things, putting things at his disposal that position us to be exactly where he wants us to be. Jesus has already done so much more than we could ever stop to think about. I'll share with you a quick story of a pastor friend of mine. He pastors a church downtown. Him and his wife had been going through this long adoption process. Years trying to get full custody of this child that they just felt like God was saying, this is going to be your child. But the mom was ready to give the son over. Long story short, the dad shows up. Dad's living in another country, shows back up, has no contact with his kid, shows up and says, I want my kid. So it turns into this big, long, drawn-out legal battle. And just watching them go through this, and the coolest thing happened about a month ago. And you talk about this is how the kingdom of God works. This guy does not follow Jesus, but this shows us that Jesus is over all. God began to soften this dad's heart after fighting for over a year. Like, I don't know my kid. I've lived in another country, but I want my kid. All this stuff, just messy situation. God began to melt this guy's heart. And about a month ago, he came to my friend and his wife and said, he said, you need to just have my kid. I'm done. I'm dropping everything. He's yours. And there's no way to explain that other than the presence of God moving over a situation. God is so involved and intertwined in our lives and in our circumstances. We just miss it so often. We forget that Jesus has already done and put into motion what you and I could never put into motion. And we see that with the kingdom of God. We see this in his death. talking about his death. His death removes the division that's there. I just hit on this really quick, because we talk a lot about Jesus' death, but I just want to remind us of this. Throughout the story of God, we've been talking about how there's this gap, there's this separation between us and God, and it's carried all through, but part of the story of God, part of that narrative, is his desire to redeem us. And so we've been seeing that trace throughout the Old Testament, but we get to this place where God is showing up, and he's going to redeem his people now, and he's going to do that through Jesus. And he swings that into motion when Jesus shows up. This is the fullness. This is everything that has been there. And so this division that was there is no longer has to be there because of Jesus. Jesus has closed the gap between us and God. And that's something you and I could never do. We're going to take communion in just a moment and let that be a reminder of what Christ went through as we commune with him in that moment. We reflect on who he is and what he did for us. But there's two responses that we can have to thinking about his death removing the division. The first one is we can just try to modify our behavior. We can just try to do it on our own, think, well, I can fix this, I can do this, without really just coming and bringing our heart before God. Because something really physically powerful happened. Matthew 27, 50 and 51. Talking about as Jesus is on the cross, Matthew records this. He says, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. This is pretty crazy stuff happening. And what this is talking about is there was the innermost part of the temple where a priest would go once a year, would go in as the sacred part where God's presence dwelt, and they would go in just at a set aside time to offer up a sacrifice on behalf of all the people, just to keep some kind of dialogue going with God, is an easy way to think of it. But in this moment, this from the top down, as if someone was a theologian I read once said it like this, it's as if God reached down with his hands and tore this veil from top to bottom to say, I'm doing what nobody else could ever do. I'm removing the barrier between my presence and my people. And here's the crazy thing is that God invites you and I into that kind of relationship with him. And that's powerful. That's he's saying, but think about, how do you approach God? I mean, so many times in our prayer life, we come, but we like, it's like we get to sit down and talk with the creator of the universe, and we just kind of, hey, God, I'm stressed. I'm worried. This stinks. I wish this was better. Can you take care of this, please? Okay, all right, I'm done. I don't know what else to say. And it's like, and that's our prayers. It's like, no, you get to come in before the holy God of the universe. Like, he wants us, and Scripture tells us to come in boldly before him. And it's not because of us that we could come boldly. It's because Jesus, because he's made a way. He's done what we can never do. And we can go before God boldly and pour our heart out to him. And ask him to show us his ways. In Christ's death, he removed the division. We lack the ability to forgive ourselves, but Jesus has already done what we could never do. And the last thing that we'll look at is his resurrection fuels our new calling. His resurrection fuels our new calling. So if in his death, forgiveness was made available, the division was removed. In his resurrection, we're now empowered. I love what it said in Romans 8:11. It says, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living inside of you and me. So all of that we feel upon ourselves, that I could never do this, I could never, we can't. But the Spirit of God that's living in us, anything you look at God and say, I can't, you're basically saying it's a bigger obstacle than raising someone from the dead. So I don't know what your I can't is this morning. In your own strength, yeah, you can't. But through the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, you can. And God's already demonstrated that. He's already said, I've done it once, I'll do it again. And guess what? I'll do it again, and I'll do it again, and I'll do it again. I just want you to trust me in this. And so our response comes before him, and it's, God, just help me to trust. Help me to come before you on a daily basis. Church, we cannot walk with Jesus and experience him the way that he wants if our faith is boiled down to just a Sunday morning listening to somebody preach from a stage. He wants so much more for us in our walk with him, and he's inviting you into that. He's inviting you into that. And as a church, we want to help you think through what that looks like. But we want to create a moment here through communion just for you to commune. That's when we say take communion, it's really about receiving communion. It's about being in a moment with God where you commune with him. You hit pause. You reflect on his death. We celebrate in his resurrection. But the body represents him going to the cross for us. His blood represents the blood that was poured out that covers and forgives and washes away our sins. And so we're going to take communion. And as we do this morning, I just want to invite you into a posture of reflection. Just reflect. Let God lead you. Communion is open for anyone to take. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're welcome to take it. You don't have to be a member of our church or anything like that. This is a moment for you to connect and reflect with God. And I'm going to pray, and as you let the Spirit lead you, you feel free to come forward at your own time when you're ready to receive it. And you can take it as you pick it up. You can take it back to your seat and pray, and then take it however you want to do it. We don't overly formalize this. We just want the Spirit to lead you through this time for you to commune with God this morning. And then our team's going to lead us in one final song of declaration about how God has done and he'll continue to do what he's always done and those things that we can't do. So let me pray, and then you let the Spirit lead you. Listen to his voice. Father, and that is my prayer, God. As we respond in these moments, as we commune with you, that your presence would be so strong right now. You know what the I can'ts are in our life, and I pray that would switch to say, God, you can. Actually, God, you already have. So I'm trusting in what you already have done. Pray that you help us to rest in that. We thank you for what you're doing in our church, God, but we know we're just getting started. You're continually wanting to do new things in us, God, so that we don't think that we can do this without you. So continue to pull us from our comfort zones. Continue to call us to trust you, to follow you, to truly believe in you, to be faithful, God. Because you've always been faithful to us. So as we commune with you in this way, speak to our hearts, speak to the circumstances of our life, speak to the dirtiest, innermost, sinful parts of who we are, and begin a work in that only you can do. We're going to give you every single bit of the praise for it, and God, we're going to be willing to tell the story of what you're doing. So we love you, we thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.